sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. Patricia, a sexual authenticity coach and a Jersey girl turned Minnesotan, and I, Judy, a health educator, advocate, and podcaster, a lifelong Minnesota girl, get together and talk about sex. In all of its myriad of forms and flavors, we are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. Because sex matter so much. Most of us can use a little help getting authentic with our sexual selves, and when we do, we all benefit. So we invite you to join us. Why? To remind us all, and perhaps better stated, help us know that sex matters. Period. Let us enter into episode number 4, cha-cha-cha, of Sex Matters.
Matters, period.
Yes. Woo.
Woo-woo. What?
What? Oh, it's fun. I'm trying to create this space where it is simply that. Sex matters.
Yeah.
That's all period. We need. Period. That's it. And it allows us to talk about it. It allows us to think about it. It allows us to explore it. And that's what we're here to do, is to help explore ideas and concepts and topics and help people think about them
in a healthy way. When you talk about sex health, it's emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical. So all of those aspects go into being sexually healthy. So it's really just about acknowledging that just like our entire body needs to be healthy, and this health conscious mindset that we have nowadays about, macros and keto and exercise and Fitbits and everything else, that your sexuality is just as important. And there's all of these aspects of sexuality that go into your sexual health. So,
right. Our culture has not trained us into that because of the way sex education has been for almost all of us. It's either been non-existent or monogamy focused, or only around the health aspect, or not the health aspect, only around the biology aspect of
it. And so, that wasn't even accurate until a few years ago.
Right.
Like the clitoris. I mean, honestly, the three-dimensional version of a clitoris was only introduced to medical science in 2009, for God's sake.
That's insane.
The entire organ of the clitoris, which has the tendrils that come down on the sides, that only was actually proven and submitted for medical approval in all the school books and the anatomy books and all that sort of stuff in 2009.
That is insanity.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. We need to think about that right there. That is a great point of when we talk about, we understand how things work. We understand science. We have science. We have had clitorises for a really long time, and we've been doing, we've had the ability to look at them for a really long time. And so when we think we have stuff figured out because science has it figured out, that is a beautiful example of, nope, we are so touching the surface on so many things and hardly touching the surface.
And I love that analogy, touching the surface, because the clitoris is what people think is the clitoris is just that little tip of the top of the iceberg. And so much of the organ is under the water, so that's an amazing visual right there, the tip of the iceberg. And we're just grazing the tip. So
right.
We've got so much more to unravel here. So
exactly. Oh, isn't it fun? All right. Well, for today's episode, we thankfully to our wonderful, to our wonderful listeners. Hopefully you're not staring at your computer or phone while you're listening to this. I mean, you can, but it's not very exciting. someday we'll do video bits. So we have questions from the audience.
Yay! Love questions from the audience.
Yes. This one comes in anonymously, but this is the question. So for couples that are monogamish, and we can talk about what that term means in a second, what do you do when one partner is not having any luck? Is the other partner obligated to slow down?
Is the other partner obligated for help with dating tips? That's the question. Back to the monogamish word.
Yeah, that was my first question.
So monogamish is a word, it's coined by Dan Savage, who basically, it's kind of an open relationship. He calls him and his husband monogamish. So they are very much a together married couple who occasionally have extra special guest stars, you know, together or apart, his terms also. So basically the question is, if you are in a relationship, and so the other point that I want to make to that is, this isn't talking about a polyamorous relationship, okay? This isn't a...
No, that's a whole nother subject,
right?
Polyamory.
Exactly. And we'll have to, that's a whole nother episode. Mm-hmm. So basically they're saying, if you have both decided you're going to open up the relationship enough so each partner can find another, and one person is finding another or others, and the other one isn't so much, what do you do about that? What are you obligated to do as the person who is finding?
Wow. Somebody? What a good question.
It is a good question.
So here's the, I'm going to go with my intuition. My intuition hits right off the bat is, the person that's having the luck is perhaps feeling guilty that they're having more fun than the other partner. And they're worried about the other partner getting jealous. Like, there's that dynamic there, that there's a fear of the jealousy or the fear of judgment disrupting that delicate balance of them wanting to be monogamish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do I think, me personally, like, if that happened in my relationship, ooh, wow, that's a doozy, because I probably would be feeling some kind of way. I would have to say, because I'm very competitive. You see, I don't know that I would handle that kind of a situation well in my own relationship. So I'm glad that that's not me. Although I guess, I mean, maybe if going by your or Dan Savage's definition, the monogamish is possibly what you would label my husband and I, because it, you know, there has been times where for my birthday, he's brought home a birthday present for me, or where we've engaged in play with other people, but both of us are engaged and involved. Mm-hmm. It's not an outside of the marriage kind of thing. Everything is.
So totally. You two do all of anything you do with another person, you do together.
Correct.
Okay.
Because it's all with me, it's all about the connection.
Right.
And if he's providing me with a certain kind of pleasure or something as a gift, I want him to be seeing me enjoy the gift. I want him to be a part of that because he provided it for me. And it's really intense. And it gives him a lot of pride, because here he's like, oh, I'm serving up her pleasure on a platter, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't work for everybody. And I've tried to do it the other way around. I've tried to be like, oh, honey, yeah, I met this girl and she'd love to come and take care of you or whatever. And he doesn't want any part of it. So he's very happy with me and everything that I give him. He doesn't want anybody else. So I've kind of dealt with this just a little bit in the guilt area, because I feel like I'm not providing for him the way he's providing for me.
But sounds like he's communicating to you.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be provided for in that way.
Right. Right. So I wonder, like, in this couple's relationship, is it, I'd say that it's, and immediately I go to it being the woman, like that it was a man that was asking. Do you know? It doesn't say. Okay. I don't know why I go there, why my brain is immediately going to the woman not getting the action. Probably because that is how we're sort of conditioned, that men are players and mm-hmm. women sometimes have a harder time. Although I don't know why.
Well, I think they can go a couple ways, because I think that we see men more as players and therefore maybe able to get, in some ways, more willing to get more action to an extent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to find the right words. On the other hand, I think depends on what you want from a partner.
Yeah.
Finding, as a female, finding a person to have sex with you, if you're not too picky, isn't really that hard. There's a lot of guys interested in having a woman who they don't have attachments to have sex, no strings attached kind of attachments. So, but you know, but the yeah, but there's a lot of different levels that can play out of what you're looking for. And if you're talking the monogamish piece, I think with that word, now the difference, like polyamory, there's an emotional attachment. So
right.
With monogamish, it's more of, it's not an emotional attachment, but not everybody can have sex with somebody without the emotional attachment, you know? So, or just, there has to be something more than just another body there. So I think it's an interesting thing, because I think I can see that both ways. Although I think some of the stories that I've heard of people struggling, it tends to be that the woman is able to find somebody faster than a guy, because women don't trust the men that, oh, you're married and she's letting you go out and party. Like, they don't trust that that's a truth, that the woman is really okay with it. So I think that can be a barrier for men.
Really?
As well. Yeah. Huh.
I'm surprised at that. that take, but okay. I mean, obviously we come from different places, and that's why this is so interesting.
So, yeah. Well, and I know, you know, some, you know, guys are a little more in the, okay, whatever. Sure. If you say it's okay, it's okay. Where women are a little more skittish sometimes, that men are not being honest with their openness in their relationship. So, you know, I suppose one way to solve that might be, can I talk to your partner? Right. But not every monogamous relationship
wants to do that
and wants to be open. So there's definite barriers and challenges that can go either way there. But
this really boils down to communication and expectations. Like, what are the rules around the play? What are the expectations between the couple, and what's the communication like? I mean, like, if it's the guy who's sending in this question right now, my immediate answer would be, well, why aren't you asking her? You know, maybe you should ask her if she wants you to slow down. Maybe you should ask her if she wants you to help her find somebody to play with. Maybe you should ask her if she's transcended. Perhaps this is no longer working for her as a relationship, and you might have to take a break for a little while, or discuss the dynamic again. You know, this really kind of comes down to expectations. If he or she wants to alleviate the guilt, the best way to do that is to let it go through communicating, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that would be a really big, important part of it. And, you know, and again, it's that question of who is okay with what. But if you've got one person who's sitting on the sidelines frustrated because they can't, you know, they can't find a person to partner up with, even for a short time, I can see that would cause some, you know, that it could obviously cause some serious tension in the relationship, have that person maybe not want to keep it open, you know. So it is like, how do you go about doing that? And then how do you connect? And I'm, you know, and I'm thinking of this from different levels. You know, we're in Duluth, I'm in Duluth, Minnesota. You're in a fairly small town. The Twin Cities is a whole, Minneapolis, whole different ballgame, right? So it also depends, like, what other options might be around for a person to get connected with. So could you connect this person? Could you help find communities that they might be able to find other people who are open to people in open relationships? I mean,
I don't think I'd want my partner to be hooking me up with somebody else to fuck. I just don't really think that's really, like, to me, that's not sexy. It would almost be like a pity.
Well, and I'm not saying that idea. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that is an interesting idea. Have them introduce you to people. And I don't know, that wasn't what I was thinking. I was thinking more in helping them to find more ways to connect with people. But I don't fully know, because I think it would be awkward. Yeah, I think it could be awkward if your partner was finding you other people. But if you're in a community, like if you are in a community of people where being in a monogamous or open relationship is okay, then maybe that awareness in that community could help open that up. But yeah, I'd love to know more about this person's kind of idea, like their whereabouts and what they're specifically dealing with. But yeah, how do you help your partner giving them dating advice? Because is it the dating? Is it simply finding somebody that they're interested in? You know, maybe they're not really interested.
It could be a transition in the person's life. I did have a client who said that he had met a girl and they were in an open relationship, monogamish. They care very much for each other. They live together. They're very open about their whereabouts, what they're doing, that sort of thing. And they've been together almost a year and she's put on 20 pounds and her sex drive has dropped. And he's not attracted to her as much sexually anymore. And he's going out and finding play partners per their relationship and their expectations.
Okay.
And she's not motivated. She sounds like she's maybe going through a little depressive area or some sort of transition in the relationship. And so what that all boiled back to was communication, obviously, that he needs to be communicating with her. She needs to be communicating with him. Whatever she's going through, she needs to own it. And she needs to be in charge of who she is. The 20 pounds really isn't, it's neither here nor there. It's a symptom. The 20 pounds is a symptom of something else that's going on with her. And she's transitioning. She's moving from one phase of her life into a new phase. My idea is that this couple will not last over time, that for a while it worked, but it doesn't work anymore. And it's not satisfying the needs that she has as for an intimate relationship. That's just my opinion through my coaching with them, but they're in total control. And I think it's kind of cool because this was a millennial couple. And millennials are really kind of redefining the way things are done as far as relationships and stuff go nowadays. It's pretty interesting. There really is no recipe for the way something has to be. Everything has changed. It's upside down. There's no standard anymore. It's not expected. What happens, happens, and how you make it work, you make it work. And if you get married, you get married. If you don't, you don't. If you have multiple partners, that's great. You know, it's all just the way it is. It comes out on a Christmas card at Christmas time that you have, one guy and three girls all walking their dogs down a fall path or something on the Christmas card. And grandma's like, oh, which one is his wife? Oh, all three, mom. You know, like with all of them, mom. It's just the way it goes these days. So it's kind of interesting, but it all comes back to authenticity, right? Doesn't it all come back to knowing who you are, what you want, being in your power, not conforming to somebody else's expectations of you without communicating your needs and your wants and your desires as well, making sure that something is feeding you and that it's not all being sucked from you, you know, energy wise in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Monogamish is a very interesting label. It leaves a lot of room for wiggling and I don't know, labels can be detrimental, yet labels can give some structure and help people to define things in a way that makes sense to them. And I'm just wondering if this is just a communication problem.
Right. Or a bump in the road of getting started as in how do you do this? And yeah. And if somebody takes off, you know, and finds people and the other person doesn't, I mean, I can imagine that imbalance can feel kind of cruddy as you're trying to figure this out. And even if you are both good and open with it, you know, you've communicated, you're both on the same page. You both want this.
Yeah. Because the other side of monogamish is swinging. Mm-hmm. So there's a flip, there's a switch that's not being, monogamish or an open relationship is generally about the couple sharing the experiences, but not necessarily knowing the partners. Okay. Mm-hmm. So they can go out and they can have an amazing tryst in the afternoon somewhere and then come home and be like, oh my gosh, honey, I just fucked the most amazing redhead or whatever. And then go through all the details, whether that's agreed upon or not in the way they've arranged it. And then swinging means going into it completely together and going to swing parties or coupling up with another couple where both people's needs are being met and they're just kind of make sure they click. And then it's just like there's a lot of mutual stuff going on at the same time. It's more of a connected sexual experience versus individual sexual experiences brought together to the relationship table.
Right. So it brings me to the question of, you know, maybe this couple is doing exactly what they want to be doing, right? They both mm-hmm. want to be separate, but then there is that question of, yeah, would swinging be a way to get together to do it? Would they be open to that? Because then it could be more of a together experience.
Right. Maybe it's just a next level and a level up to shift their relationship into a different place that makes it work for both of them, where they both have opportunity and they both feel like their needs are being met. And they're both a part of the process, you know, that kind of a thing. That's mm-hmm. just an option, something to think about.
So. Right. And some people are into that, you know, some people are, they're happy to be with their partner while their other partner is with somebody else, or they're all partaking together, yep. Yep. You know, and some people are like, go do what you want, but I don't want to hear about it, or I at least don't want to see it or whatever. And then all of that can be fluid. All of that can shift over time as you figure things out in your relationship. And
absolutely.
Yeah, communication there again being huge, so everybody is okay.
Yeah. Yep. Because it sounds like the person that asked the question cares about the partner, cares about their feelings, probably a giver, probably somebody who very much relates with the giving aspect, because it seems like it's people pleasing a little bit, you know, sort of I want to make sure she's okay or he's okay. I want to, you know, provide and give and help. But yeah, unless they ask for it, in an open relationship, unless they ask for it, I wouldn't go down that path, because he or she may be just having some space. And when there's space, there's growth. Mm-hmm. When you go without something and you realize that that's not there anymore, it's a place for growth to happen. So I don't know. Again, just talking about it would be very interesting, and finding out what ends up happening would be very cool. That's the bummer side to the submission questions, is
yes.
You don't really get the follow-up to
yes.
what happens, unless they choose to send in a follow-up email or something, which would be
right.
wonderful.
But, yeah, so check back in with us couple in a person in 6 months
interested.
And let's see how it goes. Yeah.
I hope we were helpful.
Yeah, or at least not provoking. Gave
yeah,
some
right.
ideas of, because I can understand that would feel kind of tricky on both ends of that side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we love questions from the
yes.
audience. So
yes.
please, especially the more real they are, the more real we can be too. You know, there's just so much to think about with these questions, and how thoughtful it is to pose such a vulnerable question, because I think that was really important. We were just discussing that it sounds like the person who asked the question is very concerned about the emotional well-being of the other person in the relationship. And I think that should be acknowledged and validated, because if this person is willing to slow down or willing to help the other person to ramp up, or however that works, that just means that person's very committed to making it all function correctly. So with openness and communication, I think that this will, they'll at least have a good solid relationship. However that turns out is for the universe to know, but the bond that they're making through communication and openness and vulnerability and being able to tackle the subject of sexuality in a relationship is huge. So ding, 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 stars.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the, that's a huge step forward to say, hey, we're going to give this a go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, too, the more information we have from somebody, the, you know, that can be helpful too. Not that we need a novel, or if somebody does want to leave contact information, if we have a follow-up, that doesn't mean we have to express who you are. Of course, we'll always leave things to the anonymous if no information is given, because that's, we want people to be as open and vulnerable as they can be. So thank you for the question. All right. Well, we will close this one out there, and thank you all. And we'll see you next week.
SexMattersPodcast.com is where you can join the email list, check out other episodes, and send in your questions. Remember, if you do sign up for the email list, you will get the PDF that Patricia put together with sex positive affirmations. Patricia's website is thepowerexchange.co. You can also find her on Facebook at The Power Exchange or Patricia Engelking. And find her book on Amazon called Crossing the River Called Suffering. Check out my weekly health and wellness podcast called The Wellness Renaissance Podcast. You can find it on iTunes or at wellnessrenpodcast.com. You can also find out about the other work that I do at wellnessren.com.